Greeting, Earthlings. We have now taken over your radio.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Kevin and Andrew, and this is the Jayhawk Talk Podcast. Andrew, a 2-0 week, including a win against West Virginia and another blowout home win against Baylor. Blowout. How are you doing, Andrew?
I'm doing very good, Kevin. A couple of things were incorrect in that statement, but the important things that were correct in that statement was two wins this week, Kevin. The stat that matters the most, two wins. I saw a pretty great statistic on Twitter. Since Texas Tech beat KU in Allen Fieldhouse several weeks ago, there have been two wins by road teams in the Big 12. Those wins are KU,
Kansas, and Kansas.
And Kansas.
Yes. That's interesting. Great stat.
So it's true every year that, you know, winning a road game in the Big 12 is really hard. It didn't seem that way through the first couple games, first couple rounds in the Big 12, but it's certainly true now. I mean, we saw KU go into West Virginia, but other than that, Oklahoma got picked off. Texas Tech got picked off. You know, it happens on the road, you know, to Iowa State, to K-State, to these teams where you don't expect it. So road games. Kevin, I think this Kansas team, we may be better on the road.
I think you're right. I was reading, I can't remember who it was on Twitter. It was like, send us to Anchorage. Send us to the West.
And send overall, us overseas. Overall, I don't really believe that. I think I'd rather play in Allen Fieldhouse than any other place in the entire country. Allen Fieldhouse is the place where we shouldn't lose to the Los Angeles Lakers. However, we've done pretty well on the road, and we have struggled at home.
Yeah, you're right. We're going to find out how good we are on the road this week because we are going to Oklahoma, and that is going to be a ton of fun. You know, Andrew, the last time I was on this podcast, and I said this on Twitter too, how I said the West Virginia game was going to be fun. And everyone's like, that's not going to be fun at all. That's not fun. And you know what? They were right through most of that game, but it turned out to be really fun. We're going to talk about that West Virginia game. We'll talk a little bit about Baylor. We got some takes on William Preston. Unfortunately, not ever going to see a minute of time other than an exhibition game as a KU player. Very unfortunate. We'll talk about that. We have a ton of Big 12 talk, obviously, to talk about, too. What a crazy week in the Big 12. Andrew, the Big 12 is freaking it's good and it's crazy. It is like right. There's no other league like it right now. I mean, I'm watching college basketball every night. There's nothing like the Big 12 right now.
Right. And I think that you can even look beyond the top four teams. Now, I still believe that there are top four teams, and that's KU, Oklahoma, West Virginia, and Texas Tech. Those Maybe. Are the top four teams. However, Maybe. You've got teams like K-State winning games. K-State's not bad. You've got teams
They're
like
good.
Iowa State. Iowa State's at the bottom, but Iowa State just beat Texas Tech. They can beat anybody in Hilton Coliseum. So this is a team from top to bottom where the only team that's really, I would say, struggling, the team who's kind of like on the downslope, is TCU. They got a big, just because Jalen Fisher got hurt and it's probably out for the season, but they got a big win last week too. So it's just, you know, every team's kind of on the upslope. Every team's good and, you know, they're winning at home. These teams are winning at home.
I mean, we got to remember TCU. What, where were they ranked? They got ranked pretty high because they started off like 12 or 13-0 with wins against Nevada and SMU, and they had a couple of good wins in there. And then here are their losses since then. They lost to Oklahoma by 1 point, brutal. They lost to Kansas by 4 points, meh. They lost to Texas at Texas by 1 point. They lost at Oklahoma, not gonna, you know, whatever, by 5 points. And then they lost at K-State by 5 points. So they have 5 losses by a combined, whatever, not very many points, no more than 5. And most of those teams, they were probably expected to lose. I mean, Oklahoma at home, they're probably going to lose that. Kansas at home, whatever. But at Texas, at Oklahoma, and at K-State, they were definitely not favored, at least in two out of three of those. And Texas, they only lost by one. So, like, they're going to be fine, right? Like, TCU's going to be fine.
Yeah. It's kind of like that Oklahoma State team last year that, you know, started off 0-5 or 0-6 or maybe even 0-7 and then ended up making a tournament. You know, they were a good team. I mean, they had good players, but it's just the way the Big 12 works. If you lose one or two at home on fluky random fashions, like, your record may not look good for a while until you start to pick up some of those wins that you're supposed to pick up.
But there's not very many you can pick up. Not in this league. You got to be good. You got to be good.
But speaking of games you're not supposed to pick up, let's actually do talk about the West Virginia game that we had last week. A game that if you were to power rank the difficulty on the schedule of hardest games that KU had to face this year, at least in the Big 12, you'd put this one number one, right?
Yep,
in Morgantown, hardest game we have all year. We haven't won since Ben McLemore was on the team in 2013. And I think we had won maybe the year before. Were they even the league the year before? Doesn't matter. We don't win there. It's tough to win there. You have to fly into Pittsburgh and then drive in. We usually have to play on a Monday. And they basically make it impossible for any team, but us specifically because of the quick turnaround and the way they play to win. So naturally, Kansas fans see this team compared to other teams in the past, not as strong, supposedly, arguably, and playing a very good West Virginia team, having to do this all over again. This wasn't going to be the team to win in Morgantown. But you know what, Kevin? This team persevered. This team came through. This team dealt with all the stuff that West Virginia had to throw at them and got a win and really turned the season around.
Yeah, that was a great win. I was watching this thing in Vegas. I was
not to brag or anything.
No, I was not bragging. However, I took pictures of my betting tickets and I was betting on KU. And I bet I had 100 people tell me I'm an idiot. I literally had 100. The people responding like, dumb bet, throwing away your money, bad bet. I did a little bit on the money line, not very much. And then I took Kansas, whatever it was, plus 6.5. I think I got it.
Six or 6.5. I mean, we talked about it on the podcast.
Yeah.
That, you know, it opened at 4.5 and then moved 2 points.
Yeah, it went to 7.5 at one point.
Okay.
7.5 at one point. And then it moved back down.
I think the Sharps are listening to the podcast to see what the line really should be, to see what the people who watch the Jayhawks every day think that the line should have been. And you know what? The line should have been that. But this team came back from a huge deficit and got the win. If you looked on Twitter, if you looked at these you know, message boards and kind of blogs, all of the predictions, nobody had picked KU. I think if you were to aggregate all of the people who made predictions in a public space, that would be the blogs, the newspapers. Let's go ahead and say the podcast. I'm going to go ahead and say it. I was the only one who predicted a win. I was the only one.
I put my money where your mouth was, though, mouth was.
And you were public. You were public, too. So you tweeted that out, that you had a money line victory anyway.
Yep.
I don't know if you said it on the podcast. Did you say it on the podcast?
I did. I don't remember. Okay. It doesn't matter.
We go back and look, but we won't.
We will not do that. There's no way. There's no way I'm going to do that. But here's the thing. We go in there, we get the win. I did say on this podcast, I do remember saying this and I tweeted it too. If we were to go get that win, I don't care what happens. I need as a 2 week window where you cannot tweet me and say, this team just doesn't have it. We're no good. Not a Bill Self team. They don't try hard. They're not. It's a disaster. 2 week window. That's already whatever it is. 5 days in, 4 days in, into it, and we still won. So, and there's only been two people that have tweeted me and said something like that, and I blocked them both. So, like, that's the rule. You got 2 week window. Now, if we lose three in a row, and in 2 weeks that window ends, and you want to start talking shit, go for it. But I need that 2 week window. And we're still in it. So even though we almost lost again, if we'd
have lost second half against Baylor,
if we would have lost,
they would have come.
I know.
They would have come.
It would have been hot and heavy. But
let's get into the Baylor game or the West Virginia game just a little bit. Who stood out to you as being the player we needed, the player who really, really carried us?
Well, you know, it's kind of interesting. Doak only plays 20 minutes in that game. He shoots the ball five times. Guess how many he made? All five.
Five.
You know, it was an interesting game, Andrew, because early on we obviously didn't have anything. And then we tightened up on the offensive end and turned it into a half-court game. And West Virginia cannot run a half-court offense. I mean, yeah. It is so clear. So,
well, and then if you, at the end of the game, when we're up and their victory depends on them executing
right
a half-court offense, I knew we were going to win. That's yeah. not what they do.
The other thing that I thought was really interesting is we had 13 turnovers. They had 16 turnovers. Now, most of ours were in the first half. I think we had 10 in the first half. I think we had 3 in the second half. I might have that off, but I think it's close. So we only had 3 second half turnovers. We're down however many it was at half. Come out. We think at one point we're down 16 and just chip away. Svee's got a couple big threes. It wasn't like a big crazy run or anything. And the other thing was, it's not like we played and executed perfectly. Like we played like super, super well. I mean, did you ever feel at any point during that game that they came like, man, KU is bringing it right now? It was all energy.
I don't think we shot particularly well from the field.
8 for 23 from three. I think it was.
Which is okay. I mean, that's not
fine. Yeah.
Not like the worst shooting night.
But West Virginia was 5 for 27 from three.
Right. And so, if you're that bad at shooting threes, you don't take 27.
Yeah.
That's just a lack of. Our good interior defense. We didn't let him drive. We didn't let Javon Carter go in and mess Carter around.
Had a bad game. He had a bad game.
Right.
I mean,
Dexter Miles, you almost forgot he was on the team.
Yep. And that was a function, I think, of quite a bit of the defense. I think that we had a good plan going in. And then once you got through that first spurt, you know, and you come back, you know, it's kind of, honestly, it's like KU at home. Shit, like, look at the Arizona State game. Look at the Baylor game. We go up by 13, 14 points early, make it look like we're going to run them out of the gym, and then you can't clamp down. The difference is here, West Virginia's got one style of play. And if it's not working, which it was not in that second half, it was in the first half, but it was not working in the second half, we got them going. And the thing is, like, they've got a good team. They shouldn't be one-dimensional. But we caught them at the right time, and they were not making anything from outside. Javon Carter's 2 for 8 from three. Dexter Miles, 1 for 6 from three. Lamont West, 1 of 7 from three. I mean, those three guys are 4 for 21 from three, and that helps a lot. But whatever, man. We went in there and got it done, and that was awesome. It was a weird game. We did probably – I don't know if we deserved it. But we took them out of what they like to do, and I wouldn't even say we did what we like to do because we didn't, but we did enough, and that was a lot of fun.
You know, we're missing something important that happened in this game that I think that we probably should have addressed first and foremost as the most important thing is that Bill Self wore Bob Huggins' pullover.
He did do that.
Yeah. And so I have a couple thoughts on this. And then we'll move on and talk about Baylor a little bit. But the story behind this is apparently Huggins and Self apparently are very friendly. I'm sure they meet up at the Final Four or coaches conferences or whatever they're doing, media day. And, you know, quote unquote, have a cup of coffee at 3 a.m. I doubt it was a cup of coffee at 3 a.m., but we'll just go with that. So they're having a cup of coffee, and all of a sudden they have this crazy idea that if Bob Huggins were to get Bill Self a pullover similar to the one that Bob Huggins wears, that he would wear it. So Bob Huggins did it. Bill Self wore it. Maybe he needs to wear those more often. I thought it looked pretty bad on him. He cannot pull off that look, right? And I'm not one to criticize male fashion because I don't know much, but did not look good on him.
Not his best, no. And I thought he was going to change it at halftime. You know, he's a superstitious guy. After that half, you know what went through his head, that he was going to yank that sucker off and put something else on, right? You know what went through his head.
Right. And if you even looked at the sleeves, and I think Bill Self mentioned this in the post game, like they were advertisements for West Virginia things, like the things that Bob Huggins sells on his,
really?
Like
one of them
said, one of them said like West Virginia something on it. And I don't know what they said, but it was like the same patches that Bob Huggins has on his pullover.
Oh man, that's masterful. Now here's what I want to know. Is he going to make Huggins wear something different at Allen Fieldhouse? Is that part of the
like
gig?
Like a tie, like an ugly tie from Kohl's?
Yeah.
A Bill Self uniform? No, that will never happen.
I don't think Bill Self wears Kohl's ties.
Some of them are very bad.
Listen, I don't love his tie game, but like I don't think he shops at Kohl's.
Whoever shops for him might do it.
All right, fair enough. Listen to you, guy that doesn't like men's fashion, but apparently has way too many takes on it.
No, I like men's fashion, but I don't know if I know enough to criticize it. maybe I do. Maybe I've got side podcast. Maybe a side podcast where I can talk about men's fashion.
Oh, man.
But, all right. Yeah. Anyway, great game. I think it really did turn the season around for us, put us a game ahead of West Virginia. And if you look at the schedule right now, Kevin, I mean, this podcast is going to be out of date in a couple days. But if you look at it right now, we're up one game on West Virginia and two on a big pack of Texas Tech. I think K-State's two back. Oklahoma. Somebody else. Yep. Oklahoma's all two back. So, it gives us a cushion to work with.
A little cushion.
We're not going to finish this league 17-1. Like nope. We're not. So anytime we can get some separation, the better, because this is going to be a bloodbath down the stretch. And I think that what we've seen the past 2 weeks, that definitely shows that. One other thing, you want to talk about Kanate for West Virginia?
That dude was crazy in the first half.
Man, he became one of those guys where I hate him so much that I kind of respect him.
Yeah.
Because he was blocking everything. He was a man in the first half. Now, he struggled in the second half.
We were
made some mistakes that I think really played to our advantage. But, man, Kanate on my radar is being a hated guy. But that's a good thing. That's a good thing here on the JF Talk podcast.
The crazy thing was we were going – like, those weren't, like, soft takes at him.
Like the Svi one. Svi's not the biggest guy, but Svi went up strong.
But those were none of them were that soft. But man, he was just murdering souls out there. But yeah, he had 5 first half blocks, I think, and 0 second half blocks. So that's good. But that was crazy. He was definitely he was a force. But anyway, we beat him, so meh. Let's move on to the Baylor game. Andrew, did you go to the game?
No, I did not go.
Okay.
My brother went and took the tickets. So it was a great first half. Well, great first 15 minutes, I'd say.
Yeah. Yep.
And then, man, back to the old heart attack basketball.
Yeah, the Heart Attack Hawks. I think we're up, 11?
Speaking of Heart Attack Hawks, does this team remind you a lot of the 2012 team?
A little bit,
We had a lot of games like this in 2012 with T-Rob, with Tyshawn, with his junior year. That's a lot of talent right there. But it just reminds me a lot of this team because we didn't blow anybody out that year. We just barely struggled. We barely got by. We won the Big 12 and went to the national title game.
Right.
But it reminds me a lot of that team.
Well, if we go to the national title team, I will be very happy with that. Andrew. But
game similar to this where we barely hung on. We got the win. Moving on.
Baylor's never won in Allen Fieldhouse under Scott Drew. Boy, it sure looked like he might. There for a second, but he didn't. We win by 3.
He would have tied him. They would have been tied in Allen Fieldhouse losses if that would have happened.
Oh, that's right.
Now
that's
it's 12 right. to 14.
That's hilarious. I forgot about that amazing stat. Here's something for you. So I've told you the trials and tribulations of my my online sports betting,
right?
The live betting thing. So I went into this game a little scared, actually. I thought Baylor was going to play well. They've been playing really well. We were a 9-point favorite. I actually bet Baylor +9 at 3:19 p.m. I was looking at my bet log. So 3:19 p.m. I bet Baylor plus 9. At 6:50 p.m. So an hour and 50 minutes into the game.
Okay, so there's probably 5 minutes left in the game.
When I saw the tide starting to turn, I put a decent sized bet on Baylor plus 7.5.
Okay.
So they were only down, I think they were down two or three, and it was not looking good at all. I bet Baylor, and the line was still plus 7.5 because I thought KU was going to obviously pull out and win a little more. And then at 6:56, 6 minutes later, I bet KU on the money line plus
235. Ooh.
So we were
We were down six at that point, probably.
So in 6 minutes, we go from a 7.5-point favorite to like a 4.5-point dog, and I put money on the money line. And then 3 minutes later, at 6:59 p.m., I bet a pretty decent amount on KU plus 4.5 when we were down six, I think, or four or five, plus 4.5. So I make four bets, one of them Baylor plus 9, Baylor plus 7.5, KU plus 235, and KU plus 4.5.
So you won all those.
I won all four.
So you bet both teams at different spots in the live betting.
Won all four.
Well, that'll probably never happen again. That's not how that's supposed to work.
That's not how that's supposed to work. I that was me just like the trends of that game were just crazy. And the numbers, you know, the little algorithm or whatever they use to adjust the lines were not taking into account what was going on in that game. So anyway, whatever. It was kind of funny. But yeah. Andrew, we get that win. Malik Newman, obviously the story of the game, right?
Right. And story of the game and the story of the last 5 minutes. Without Malik Newman on the floor, we lose that game. He scored the last, I think, is 7 points for us, at least the last five.
And 12 of the last 14, I think.
So 12 of the last 14, he was the dominant player on the floor. He's the guy that we were promised. And I think we've been a little tough on Malik Newman on this podcast.
The prince but I don't, promised?
But I don't think that we said anything that he would disagree with or that Bill Self would disagree with. I think we're critical in the sense of, he's been disappearing. We were still fans of Malik. I mean, he got benched for Marcus Garrett for a couple games. And, yeah. That goes to show you where kind of he was in the standing of the program.
He finally is getting to the floor, getting to the hole a little bit. Remember, that was our biggest gripe about him. He was kind of just spotting up and shooting step backs and then otherwise disappearing in the game. Like, that was it. He had 7 free throws, made all 7 in that game. He's been getting to the line a little bit more noticeably. 3 for 4 from 3. And he was pushing the tempo. He got the ball. He's going downhill. And it's really good to see. I mean, we still need that. We're getting better. Andrew, we shot 34 free throws in that game. That was a lot of free throws. We made 21 of them, but we shot 34 of them. Now,
right.
Let's talk about free throws for a minute, because if you, Devontae, you know, he's been 7 of 8. That's his average. Malik goes 7 of 7. He's a hell of a free throw shooter. And then that was it, except for our boys, Doak and Marcus. Marcus goes 3 for 8, and Doak goes 4 for 11 with 2 banks.
Two banks. You know, I want you to watch his feet, okay? When he's shooting free throws, it's his left foot that's where the issue is. Watch his left foot. His left foot moves up a couple inches when he makes a shot. That means he's like forcing it forward.
Yeah.
Not shooting up into an arc. If he keeps that left foot steady and goes straight up with the ball, he's going to have more success. But like you just watch it. That's where the problem is.
That's where it is. All right.
That's what it is.
Somebody alert. I don't know. Who should we alert? somebody tell Doak.
Townsie. Townsie will probably answer any phone call or any text message.
Listen, someone
DM Curtis Townsend and say like, hey, this is like, look, his form is just wrong. Someone tell him what he's doing wrong.
Oh, man. So Hakabuki or Pokadoak. I can't remember which one we like.
Pokadoak is just, it's too good. I mean,
Pokadoak is pretty good. I
you don't, like, you don't, get a rhyming scheme for things like this very often. You get Hack-a-Shack and you get Poke-a-Doke. That's all. That's the only ones you can ever get out of this for the same scheme. True. So has to be Poke-a-Doke.
All right. So Poke-a-Doke.
It worked. It was very successful.
It was successful. They asked, they asked Baylor folks, were you trying to foul him? Were you doing that on purpose? And Scott Drew was like, no, we weren't. But like, come on. You had to.
I would have.
So
I totally would have.
Here's actually like going forward, true dilemma. He can't be on the floor in those. And we're going to be playing these games.
Yeah. In a tight possession game, you know, one or two possessions with a minute and a half left.
He can't be on the floor. And that sucks because we have no one to rebound. And you saw he actually made, you know, he didn't block the shot, but he obviously altered Manu's shot at the end there when they were driving at the end and he got up. Really got airborne, didn't block it, but obviously got, you know, bothered him on that drive. And if he's not in that game, is Mitch going to be the one doing it?
The one thing we do get to rely on, at least defensively, is I think defensively, Mitch is a decent substitute.
Yeah, but put that ball up there at 4 seconds. And Mitch leaves his man because he always does and tries to go block it. Like, someone's open. I mean, it sucks that he's that bad at free throws
I think you lose it more on the offensive end. I think defensive end, I think Mitch can hang. I mean, I don't think he's a full complement.
He can't rebound. I mean, neither can Doak, but I don't know. I'm with you that I think Mitch is probably fine on defense, but there, you can't replace that body type clogging up the lane, and especially if he's got a foul to give. But anyway, it sucks that he obviously is not. This is going to come back to haunt us. You know it will. You know that Poke-a-Doke is going to come back in a game when it's pretty tight, and he's obviously. I mean, there was obviously a problem going on. The 4-for-11 was kind. Because he had 2 bank shots. I mean, that and what Self said it, I mean, legitimately, he's like, that's like a turnover when you foul, when he gets fouled and goes to the line and makes 25% of his free throws, it's akin to a turnover. And you know, especially late, that's going to be a problem. And shit, maybe Marcus isn't very good either. Marcus is not very good at shooting the ball.
Right. And Marcus, it seemed like I'd hate to say that Scott Drew had any kind of strategy in this game, but it did seem like they were making Marcus beat them. Like they were doing whatever that it took to force Marcus the ball.
Oh, it's 5-on-4. Yeah, it's 5-on-4.
And Marcus took that opportunity and didn't do anything with it. I mean,
1-for-5.
When we had those long stretches, where we didn't score in the second half. We had 2 long stretches. It seemed like during those stretches, Marcus Garrett had the ball a significant amount of time. His usage was huge in those time periods.
I think – I can't remember what it was. Did we go 22 minutes without making a field goal other than Doak? Isn't that what it was?
22 game minutes? Yeah, it's something like that.
Bonkers. Like, that's insane. And during that time – Doak only made like 4 buckets, but you know, when we talk about shooting 34 free throws, that's part of it, but still only make the only person that makes a field goal in 22 game minutes. Like I bet that's maybe never happened at Kansas. Like you think that's ever happened? 22 game minutes, one person makes field goals.
22. Well, if someone goes off like Wilt Chamberlain back in the day where they just give it to him, like, but that's a positive thing. You know, yeah, that's not a negative thing.
That is insane. We had no business winning this game, by the way. That was insane. But anyway, that was the Baylor game. We come back late. Malik is the prince who was promised, and maybe hopefully he can build on that going forward. 2 other quick things on this game. We did see a couple minutes with Silvio and Doak playing together at the same time.
I was very excited to see that. Very excited to see it. But Silvio, 2 minutes, 3 fouls.
This was Bill's quote about those 2 minutes. That was the most ineffective thing I've ever seen. when those two were playing together. So I got a kick out of that. But yeah, I think, you know what, hopefully they'll figure it out. You know, we've obviously got, I think it's going to take a little time. This was maybe not the best game to put him in on, but we'll see. Hopefully Silvio gets it figured out. I'm still a little not sure about those two playing together. It's just when you have two bigs playing together, especially in that against a zone like that, you have to have some, you have to have played together a little bit to know where the other guy is, know their nuances, know where they're going to be, you know where they liked it past. These guys obviously have not played together at all because Silvio hasn't played with anybody at all. And when you put them in there together, it's going to take time, man, to get those two on the same page. And I guess I remain a little skeptical that that's going to work at all this year. I think Silvio is going to get minutes. I think he'll be coming in subbing in for Doak, but I remain skeptical that the two big men are going to play significant minutes this year. What do you think?
Right. And there's not a good game to test that out on. Like, there's not this, you know, bad Texas Tech team or bad TCU team where you can get up by 30 and then test something out. Like, there's no opportunity to do that. The games to do that were in November.
Yeah.
We don't have that.
Nope.
So we need 40 minutes to be effective minutes, not testing minutes. And that's just the nature of the Big 12. So we saw it for a couple minutes here. I think we'll see it a little bit down the road. They'll throw it out there just to be a different look, but I don't think it's going to be a main strategy, a main focal point, you know, maybe no more than a couple a game. And maybe some games where it doesn't happen at all.
And maybe some game it goes in and it actually is like really effective and it plays, you know, they play 10 minutes like that. But I remain very skeptical that that will be a thing. Andrew, we get the win. We are moving on. We are 6-1 in the league, winning four games, or I think, what was it? Winning six games by a combined 20 points or something. Is that
it's
right?
Not a lot. It's not a lot.
That's insane. Okay, so I guess let's talk about William Preston. Wake up early Saturday morning, check the old Twitter bug and see I think it was Jesse, might have been one of the first ones that saw it, said it, at least that was one of the first ones I saw, had a quick blurb about, I'm going to get the name wrong, BC Yukaba Jogaba.
Bosnia basketball team.
Saw that they had released a press release about Billy joining the team, and my first thought was, okay, wait a minute, just a second here, like, that doesn't shock me at all that he's going over there. It doesn't shock me at all that, you know, that he's not going to play for Kansas. What was a little surprising is that we learned it from this Bosnian team that Kansas had nothing out there. And sure enough, after this game, we hear from Self. He's like, yeah, I woke up to text messages telling me that they had released this statement. He didn't know about it either. Now, he knew that it was a possibility. Yeah, I guess it had been a thing for a couple weeks. But that was my first thought. Like, this is a little strange that KU is not in front of this. You know, usually they'd release a press release or something and say, you know, we wish him well, we recognize blah, 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 it's a tough situation. No, none of that. It was just this Bosnian team really doing a little press release, and that was it. So that was weird, first of all. And then second of all, you start seeing news reports coming out, or like the press having opinions, a lot of takes, right? And none of them are quite right or true. You know, no one knows anything yet or what happened. Someone's like, oh, it's clear the NCAA ruled against him. Well, you know, like, we don't know that for sure. We know that it's possible that it was being appealed. We know that it was possible that no decision had been made at all, and that they were tired of waiting. And then we actually did hear that from Self after the game, is that I guess this Bosnian team gave him a period of time that this offer was open for. Did you hear about this?
I did.
Which is kind of bullshit.
Expired on Friday.
Which is kind of bullshit. I'm sorry.
You're a lawyer. I'm a lawyer. Yeah, that's how you do business. I guess. You gotta put some fire under them. You gotta make them make a decision. You can't let them stew on it. Let somebody else, some third party, come in and influence this. You gotta like make them make a decision. And you know their season is different than an NBA. So I think that there's only like a handful of games left until he'd get to play. Something I read. So he's not going to get to play a whole lot before, you know, he's going to have to come back and do NBA or get NBA draft stuff. So it's one of those things where it makes sense. Like he can't just suddenly decide mid-February to do this. I think they needed him now. Maybe he gets a little bit of money. I doubt he gets much because it's going to be for, you know, just a handful of games for a Bosnian team that I'm not that familiar with European basketball. I know a little bit, but I do not know this team. And you know if it's guys? In Bosnia, if it's in Bosnia, it doesn't mean it's like the top of the top. They like their basketball and those former Yugoslav republics. I will say that they love their basketball, but they're not any Real Madrid or any Turkish teams that are bonkers.
I follow them on Twitter now. Igokia. I've been waiting to see what their mascot is. Because they're from their little logo, I cannot tell. It's actually really bothering me because I kind of want a Billy Preston jersey from Akogia, whatever their name is. So if anyone out there could find me a Billy Preston jersey, I will pay top dollar from BC Akogia. I have seen Akogia tweet a little bit about it. Not much, just kind of like retweeting news stories. So pretty sure he'll be he'll be joining a team of all white people, which is
different.
All I can see so far. A little different. They all look like they're about the same height. So that'll be different. But anyway, that was one take. The other take was there was a lot of national press that had some takes, man. The most interesting was from Draft Express. Have you followed Draft Express, those guys?
Yes.
I can't remember. Jonathan Givoni, something like that. I don't know. He's like very popular, obviously, and he's been around forever. He works for ESPN now. Like they got bought out. And he tweets something like, Billy Preston, yet another player caught up in the FBI Department of Justice NCAA scandal. Paper trail leading back to Adidas was likely too much for Kansas to risk considering the reward. And like nobody else had said that ever. Like maybe you get like a text chain of like national writers who are like, wonder if this is tied to Adidas, and they're all texting each other. That could be happening, but no one had ever tweeted anything about this being tied to Adidas and the FBI and Department of Justice. So I responded and I said, Jonathan apparently has FBI sources. And a couple of people agreed with that. And then I said, I've got more takes, Jonathan. You can't just throw this tweet out there without breaking a story too, right? Like if you've got sources, you got info, break it, be a hero. But you can't
It to your ESPN people if you don't want to do it.
Yeah.
You know how they would salivate.
You can't Twitter hedge. Like Twitter in this day and age is no longer a hedge. It's not like you can just throw stuff out there anymore. Like even if you say in my opinion.
Yeah, sitting on a take. Like, you know, you throw that out there and if it happens, you can come back and say, hey, look at me 2 months ago. I said
you can't do that.
Especially if you're a national media member.
And you work for the effing worldwide leader. You work for ESPN now, baby. You cannot do that. And then I said, so I had more takes. I was like, but if you don't have enough to break a story and you go to bat, you cannot tweet this. I was like, I responded. I was like, I either recommend you expand on it or delete it. But you can't play heads middle ground in your game, especially if you're the only one saying it. So, and I got a lot of feedback on that. Actually, some media folks agreeing privately with me about that. And so anyway, that was pretty
annoying. Respond?
No, never did.
Did he delete it or do anything to it?
Never did it. He just like went on about his day. So That was total BS.
I mean, and it's Twitter. I mean, well, who cares?
I know,
it's
right? Whatever.
But like, whatever. I get it. Like, this seems like a deal that couldn't get wrapped up, and you know, he made a decision that he's got to get himself ready for the NBA draft, and the best way to do that is to get out there, make a little bit of money. His mom was probably saying, like, we got to make a decision here. I just know that because she's been very anxious on Twitter.
Speaking
about the whole
thing. Her Twitter, she immediately responds to Jonathan and says, "This is, in all caps, not the truth. Shaking my head." Those little SMH. And then she said, "Seeking counsel." she didn't.
That's
like
a Donald
either.
Trump move right there. I know, right? Seeking counsel. However, like, yeah, you can't do that. You can't sit on a take that's a fact. Like, you can sit on a take that someone is bad or that someone isn't, you know,
that's
a subjective
different.
Thing. You can't sit on an objective fact.
No, like, be a hero, man. Break that story. Blow it open. And then, like, so other media people started talking. Dan Wolkin, who I actually respect. You know Dan, you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, sure.
I think he's with USA Today now. I think he's bounced around. Oh, okay. But, you know, he's pretty good follow on Twitter, knows his stuff, you know, fairly well respected. And says, like, starts going all conspiracy theory and saying, like, you can't touch Bill Self. He's like the white knight. Like, no one's ever going to go after Bill Self on this stuff, but people should. And read the comments from Bill Self from the beginning and tell us if he was being upfront about the situation. Like, he just goes on a rant about this. And so, of course, I had some takes for him.
Well, at least that's a little more subjective. That's not like stating a fact.
I agree. But he literally said, and this is the quote, I just found it. If you're waiting for anyone in the media to go in on Self, you'll wait a long time. He's the chosen one.
Ooh, I like that. We should start calling him that.
Actually, we should do that. That's a pretty scorching take to obviously not, like, you
that's
are.
That's not true. There are people out there like Greg Doyle who would love to see Bill Self destroyed.
Exactly. There's a gazillion people. You can make a career on it.
The media, half the media went to Missouri. Half sports media went to Missouri. Are you kidding me?
Exactly. And the other went to Syracuse. The other half went to freaking Syracuse.
So, like, that's a stretch. I don't know. Where did Wolkin go? He must have went to Missouri and is not gutsy enough to have a legitimate opinion about it. Just mad that KU's good, which, you know, that's the opinion. Do you have any more takes? I kind of want to get into how this affects KU, but if you've got more takes, you want to get out there.
No,
let's go.
I do, but I'm done. Like, it was a pretty busy Saturday morning. I was getting tweets from messages from friends like, "You okay, bud?"
I was involved in a text chain that involved that. I'm like, you know, that's just Kevin. He's fine. You know, he's probably going about his day. He's probably, you know.
Oh, yeah. No, I was like running errands. I wasn't even
tweeting, firing back on a hot takes on Twitter here, going to the store, buying some bread, buying some milk, exactly firing back at a hot take here.
I'm going to go to Kolache. I was like, part of that was like in a Kolache line.
Kolache, waiting in line for them to microwave them. Fire off a hot take here.
That's literally what was going on. That's literally.
All right. So Kevin's got takes.
Kevin, I got one more. I got one
more.
All right, one more. Our buddy Bob Fesco.
Okay.
I got to find it. Dang it. Where is it? Oh, man. He said, all right, here we go. "And maybe this will be the final lesson Bill Self needs to stop wasting time on one and duns who collectively have contributed nothing to making KU a champion."
Ugh. I saw that, and I saw Carrington Harrison's response of, I would be in favor of KU not recruiting the best players, which I think that's all that deserves is, like, no, we're going to go after the best players.
Brady McCullough replies to me, good old our friend of the podcast, Brady McCullough, a former KU beat writer, and he tweeted, he's like, "Players who thought they were one and duns or wanted to be Brandon Rush, Darrell Arthur."
Every player.
I know, but he was talking about people who were contributed, who never contributed to being a champion.
Oh,
those
sure.
Two dudes might have been contributed a little bit, but, you know, they didn't go one and done, but they were recruited to be.
Anil Adams thought he was one and done.
Yeah, he was.
But yeah, you know, like, people do stick around. And you know what? If you've got a guy who can go to the NBA after 1 year, that means he had one hell of a year.
Yeah.
I mean, he was a skilled enough player that he's going to be the one of the top 60 players in the country that year. They're chosen to play professionally for millions of dollars. Yeah. There's not many of those. There's not many of those.
Right.
So if you can get one of those guys, then you go get him. But who knows if Billy Preston is one of those guys. I don't know if he's going to be making it into the NBA draft, but it does hurt this basketball team. I think it's been so long since he's been even, thought about in terms of how he would fit in strategically. He's always been hanging over the program, hanging over the season. But in terms of if he comes in, how does he fit? Is he going to be ready? Has he been practicing the same way he would have? He didn't look, fully ready to go at the beginning of the season. Is he ready to go now? I've been saying, and I think a lot of people maybe didn't take this concept and didn't realize this concept, but he wasn't going to be the white knight coming in to save the day for this team. He's a freshman who is going to struggle a little bit, and asking him to come in Big 12 season, that's a big ask.
Yo, absolutely. I mean, thing is, though, this day and age, you got 5 stars next to your name, you have very high expectations. And boy had 5 stars next to his name. I agree with you. He was not ever going to be, at least I don't think. I mean, I don't think he was ever going to be.
I thought he was a 2-year guy. I think he was, from what I saw in the summer early on, I thought he was a 2-year guy. This year wasn't going to be the year. He's more of a, see what happens next year, be more of a scoring threat next year, be figured out next year. But you know what? Not going to happen. So we get one of the two cavalry members back. We get Silvio De Sousa. We do not get Billy Preston. And unfortunately, we're moving on without him. Best of luck to Billy in Bosnia, though.
I think
we root for him. I think we'll consider him a Jayhawk. Just a weird situation that did not allow him to become a member of this team the way we wanted him to. So sorry. I mean, I'm kind of mad about it. I'm not broken up, but I'm like, this isn't how it's supposed to work out. And I don't really know the full situation, and I don't know if we ever will.
Nope.
But who knows what the deal is.
Go get him in the Adriatic League.
And then go play and go get your money in the NBA. I hope you do get drafted and prove yourself.
Oh, hell yeah.
I think you'll eventually be good enough to do that.
Here's hoping. All right, Andrew. I think that's enough on Bill Preston. Do we want to talk about some Oklahoma? Or do you want to talk about the Big 12?
If you ask ESPN, it's not Oklahoma. It's Trey Young.
It's Trey Young.
It's Rock Chalk versus Trey Young. That's what the commercials say.
I know.
Rock Chalk versus the Phenom.
Literally.
The rest of the team doesn't get any consideration because the team doesn't get any consideration from Trey Young.
Ooh.
Or Lon Kruger. The usage rate for Trey Young is out of this world, probably beyond any player in college basketball. I don't know. I mean, I'd like to see that statistic, but Trae Young is the team. Trae Young is the team.
He's number one in percentage of possessions.
By far.
Number three in percentage of shots. Usage rate number one. Yeah, he's basically number one across the board on everything. Similar
351
comps.
Teams. We're not even talking about some random Stony Brook team that has one player.
Right.
This is out of 351 teams.
Similar comps are Kyrie Irving, D'Angelo Russell, Cameron Payne. Interesting.
Okay. Well, so Cameron Payne played for that Steve Prohm team.
Yep.
And he was the only good player. Murray State. Kyrie Irving played 9 games. So who knows how that really works?
Yeah, I'm not sure either.
And who was the other one?
Who was it? D'Angelo Russell.
Okay, that makes sense too.
From Ohio State, yeah. And he was.
You know what? Trae Young's gonna be a great NBA player. I do think that, but the way that they're playing at Oklahoma, they've won a bunch of games, but man, if I was Cameron McGusty, I'd be like, man, I was good last year for this team. I battled with this team, and now I don't even touch the ball.
Yeah, it is different, obviously. It worked really well for a while, right? They looked really good. They won some. They won some big games, Andrew. They went on. Let's see, what was their non-con? Who they beat? They beat Wichita State. They beat
Wichita State. That's probably the big
one. Was there another? I thought there was another one. Oh, they beat Oregon.
Well, they blew out Northwestern, but Northwestern ended up being garbage.
Yeah, they're dropping off. But so they've lost their last two games, though. They lost to K-State on the road by 18, which was insane. And then they lost in overtime at Oklahoma State this weekend, which was a really fun game, actually. Did you watch any of that game?
I watched the last 10 minutes and overtime.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. And you saw during those last 10 minutes that he could get anything he wanted off the dribble. Were you watching that? It seemed like he was getting fouled or making it almost every time. Now, I know he missed a bunch of two-pointers in that game, so he must have missed them all in the second or in the first half, because he went 12 for 12 from the free throw line, which I don't think I've ever seen him miss a free throw ever. And he 8 for 20 from 3, which he shot 23 pointers, which actually, if you're going to make 8 of them, is not...
That's not bad.
That's not that
40%.
Bad.
That's 40%. That's pretty good.
And what do you have? 40%?
Yeah, 40%.
What do you have? 48 points or something? 40... I don't know what it was.
Yeah, 48, 48. He tied Beasley and Melvin Edgem for most points in a Big 12 game.
So the dude's bonkers, obviously. Right. I mean, he's good. Like, I can't remember who was saying. Oh, actually, it was Bill Self. This was a great discussion point. I didn't really think about this until I heard it. He said, you know, to get 48 in a college game means you are getting your shot. You're able to get your shot when you want it. He's like, the thing people don't talk about with Michael Jordan is that he was able to just get his shot whenever he wanted to. Like, it didn't matter who was guarding or how many people were guarding him. He was able to get his shot. And I thought that was an interesting way to describe Trae Young, because it's probably true. He does. But sometimes his shot is from 50 feet away on the logo.
Right. But sometimes, okay. No, I really like Trae Young. But sometimes he's like LiAngelo Ball. Sometimes he's like, you know, just casting stuff up. It's just clanking off the backboard, not even hitting rim. And it's like, why did you take that shot? But other times he's, you know, doing some random spin move, shooting a 3-pointer from 30 feet, and it's swoosh. Mm-hmm. So like, you have to take the good with the bad for that.
Yep. And what's funny is I think it was Ken Palm tweeted something about, you got a guy that's averaging X number of points. He's averaging 40% from the 3-point line. He's averaging 10 assists a game, and you're telling him he needs to shoot the ball less. That was like that. It was all, you know, statistically oriented, but
those are cherry pick stats. I mean, he did have 12 or 13 turnovers in the K-State game.
Yeah.
Which is, that's not a shooting
usage rate of higher than three times higher than anyone else in college basketball. Like, you're going to turn the ball over. But yeah, so obviously he's going to get points, Andrew. If I were to say the over under points against Kansas is 28.5, you take the over?
I think he gets 30.
Okay. If I set the over under at 30, what do you put it at?
Well, I mean, I think he gets 30, so I say push, but I'll take the under. Just because I think Bill Self will throw some kind of junk defense at him.
The junk's coming, baby.
just to make him pass the ball. I'm not saying it's going to, like, keep the point total down, but, like, make Kadeem Latin beat you. Make McGusty beat you. Those are all good players.
They're
but
good.
Make
someone, I like Kadeem Latin. Yeah, McGusty's
make, good. Make somebody else beat you.
I agree. I think that is probably going to be the game plan. But knowing full well he's still going to get 30. You know what I mean? You want him to get 30, but hold everybody else off, and you definitely want him to turn the ball over. But he's going to get 30. Like, that's just what it is.
Yeah.
You hope it's on 30 shots, though, not on, you know, 18. And so we'll see. That's going to be very interesting. We have had this game play out before, Andrew, where a phenom at Oklahoma was being played at Oklahoma. And one Devontae Graham went down there as a sophomore and shut the dude down. The game was Devontae versus Buddy. And Devontae showed out. I think he scored 28 points. He just completely shuts down Buddy Hield. Do you see something happening like that? Is Devontae up for the challenge in this game, or is this a different beast?
This is a different beast. I think that there's a lot of comparisons between the two. However, I think Trae Young has the ball in his hands a lot. Buddy was more of an off the bounce guy. Pass him. He's more of a two guard, traditional two guard. You know, run him off a couple screens, get him an open three. He'll take it. Trae Young is more of a run around with the ball. I'm not going to pass the ball. So that's a little different. I mean, in terms of just strategy. Back 2 years ago, we were not asking Devontae to play 40 minutes a game. That's He's true. Played 40 minutes the past two games. Now, he may have sat for 30 seconds in his Baylor game before a 12-minute timeout, but in the minute book, in the box score, it still showed up as 40 because he sat out for so few amount of time. So we didn't ask Devontae. We don't like back in 2016. We didn't ask Devontae to do that. Devontae's gonna have to play this whole game.
Yep.
And to ask him to score, to run the offense, and to guard Trae Young is a lot to ask. So
who else is going to do it?
Well, I think that you'll see some box and one, maybe.
Oh, yeah.
You'll
see some junks coming.
Or triangle and two. I don't know if they'll do that, but I think they'll do a box and one or some variant of that, maybe some matchup zone.
They're going to switch everything.
They'll switch everything.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of switching.
They're not going to let him dictate an offense with pick and rolls. They're gonna switch everything. So I think that'll be a combination of that. But I think Devontae man-to-man defense will be a significant part of that, but not the entire time.
It's going to be a lot of fun. I don't have any idea what to expect in this game. The thing that bothers me a little bit is they're coming off two losses, and they are. They're both away, and they've won all their home games, obviously. And I'm a little afraid that you're giving Lonnie Kruger some time to say, okay, we got to fix whatever's not working here. And he's going to have something fixed, ready to roll. That's going to probably make Trae better. Maybe not. Maybe Trey's just going to be Trae, and that's just going to be what happens. But I expect something to look a little different for this game because I think they need it to have a chance to win this. I think they do. I think they probably need this game to get back in it. They probably see this as a get right back in the mix game, which is totally accurate. They win this game, they're right back in it. So we'll see, man. It's going to be a lot of fun. Any predictions? I think I see KenPom's got it at basically a coin flip, 51% in favor of Oklahoma.
I'll go KU. I think, yeah, dude, this, we've been podcasting for 6 years. I don't think I've ever picked against KU.
Even in football.
Oh no, that's not true. But I think we've got a good shot to win this game. I think that if we do focus kind of our strategy, our game plan on what to do with Trae Young, which obviously everyone in the country is trying to do.
Right.
But I think that we've got some defensive talent there, especially at the guard level. We could throw some guards out there. You know, Marcus Garrett, you know, maybe he didn't have a great game last game, but, you know, expect him to step up defensively in this game and see what happens. And, you know, try to force some turnovers. And I think that we have a shot to win this game.
We definitely have a shot.
We went into West Virginia, got that win. Now this is a completely different team.
Andrew,
kind of a one man focus, but we can do it.
You and I sat in the front row against Arizona State and those little pesky, quick, very crafty guards.
Rami
past Martin. Us whenever they wanted to. You saw that. We had the best view of it literally in the house. I mean, yeah. Like better
that
than
that was self. A month ago. That was more than a month ago.
I understand, but that I just have visions of that with Trae that I can't quite get out of my head, which is why I'm not sure we're gonna win this game. But I hope we do. I hope the junk defenses come hot and heavy. Honestly, if it had been a league game, the junk defenses probably would have been in that game too. I think self was willing to lose that game to make a point against Arizona State. The zone never came, but I think we'll see a little bit. This game will be a lot of fun. We'll see. And then, Andrew, real quick, we play Texas A&M on Saturday and at home. Texas A&M has been struggling. They won the last two. They actually beat Missouri, which was good. this Saturday, but I think they lost five in a row before that. So they won their last two. Maybe they're going to get something back going again, but we play them at home on Saturday. I don't know a lot about Texas A&M, other than they obviously started off so strong. They beat West Virginia by a zillion points in the first game, and then they've obviously struggled. So that will be interesting. What do you think of this mid-season Big 12 SEC challenge deal?
I mean, it's fine. I like it. It's kind of ESPN's play to do something in between the Super Bowl weeks, because we have a week off before the Super Bowl, so they need to have some big programming right. event, and it's this. It was fun when it was against Kentucky, and it's fun that it's kind of this different thing, but like, I'm so focused on the Big 12 that I could care less about it.
Yeah, I think it is hard. I agree with you. It's just with this race and with the Big 12 being as fun as it is, it's almost like, oh, we got to wait. We got to do this.
We got to go do this now.
Get me back to the Big 12. Although there's actually going to be some cool games. Kentucky goes to West Virginia, which will be fun. Baylor, Florida, which will be a lot of fun. I think that'll be a really good game.
And Alabama, Oklahoma, you'll see Colin Sexton versus Trey Young, which will be a good freshman matchup.
Oklahoma State, Arkansas, TCU, Vandy, Tennessee, Iowa State. That's at Iowa State, so that could be interesting. And then Georgia, K-State, and Ole Miss, Texas. So there's a couple snoozers in there, but that Baylor, Florida, A&M, Kansas, Kentucky, West Virginia, Oklahoma, Bama, those are all going to be a lot of fun. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. Actually, the SEC's got top to bottom a pretty good league this year too. They've been really surprising. Just kind of more, not anything that's like blowing you away. Like Florida's good. They went and beat Kentucky this weekend at Kentucky. It was a good game. But I mean, Tennessee is that the best team in the league? Maybe Florida.
Auburn's pretty good. Florida's pretty good.
So I think Auburn. Yeah, Auburn's 17 in KenPom. Tennessee's 14, and then they got like six teams in the top 50 other than that. So anyway, so let's stop talking about the SEC because that's lame. And let's talk about, is that everything? Oh, the Big 12. We got to talk about the Big 12 first.
Let's just do a quick power ranking. One thing on Texas A&M, one guy to watch out for, Robert Williams. He's that guy who could have gone to the NBA last year. But came back for his sophomore year. It's probably going to be a lottery pick, or at least going to be a top pick. Big guy, big wingspan. I think he's like a 7'5 wingspan. So watch out for that guy. He will be a matchup nightmare, depending on how we decide to play him. Obviously, he'll be guarded by Doak or somebody big. But otherwise, you know, I don't know. I don't know much about that team. He's the main thing we need to be focused on. All right, power rankings.
Power rankings. Have you looked at the conference strength of schedule so far from KenPom, where it shows you who's played the easiest and hardest schedule in the Big 12 so far?
No.
I think Kansas is ninth.
So we are the easiest or the hardest?
The second easiest.
Oh, wow.
Is what they've got here, if I'm reading this right. Oklahoma State's 10th. Iowa State 8th. So maybe I'm reading this wrong, but I'm pretty sure that's what that's saying. I thought that was interesting that we theoretically are almost the easiest schedule so far, which makes some sense because we had that little stretch of games that we thought we were just going to win and we won, but barely.
Yeah, but everyone's so kind of close together.
I know.
Like, we played at West Virginia. You know, we'll probably shoot back up to 3 when we play at Oklahoma. I mean, those are the two toughest games.
Yeah, it's going to even out. And we're always going to be lower because we don't have to play Kansas.
Right.
So, which is always kind of a point that I like to make in this. So right now, Andrew, I think you have to have Kansas number one, right?
So I put KU number one. That win against West Virginia, you've got a win clear in the
and Texas in the Tech column. Because Texas Tech was the other team that we were thinking about beforehand last week, and then they lose two games this week. They go 0-2, losing to Texas and Iowa State. Not great. So they have dropped off. I think West Virginia has to be number two, right?
West Virginia, yep, definitely.
And then what do you do?
Well, I think you look at a couple things. You look at the best win. I think Texas Tech has maybe the best win out of that bunch. They have a win against West Virginia. They have a win against KU.
Yeah.
So that's something. So I would definitely put Texas Tech at number three, maybe tied with Oklahoma.
Although Oklahoma beat Tech.
Right. 10. And so if we're looking at best wins, everybody's starting to beat up on each other. So I still think that you keep that, even though we kind of have a rounding out of the standings equaling out. Those top four should remain the top four. So I'll put Oklahoma three, Texas Tech four, but we'll go ahead and consider it a tie.
And Andrew, we have a clear number five emerging, right?
It might be K-State.
It's K-State. They had a very good week, winning two ranked games against Oklahoma and TCU, both at home, but still won both games. They beat Oklahoma by 18 freaking points. And obviously beat TCU this Saturday as well by five. A good game there, kind of a grinder of a game, but never let them quite back in it. So, yeah, man. And they obviously almost beat Kansas too. It was down to one possession, 73-72. So they started off a little slow. They lost to West Virginia and Texas Tech. You can't really knock them for that. But since then, have won three of four, and their only loss was that 1-point loss to Kansas. They got Baylor on Monday, tomorrow. And I think that's a coin flip. What do you think?
I think you got to go with the home team. I agree. Baylor here. I think the Baylor should be favored by a couple in that. The way K-State's been playing, you can't count them out. But I think Baylor will pick that game up.
I think it's going to be very close. I think it's going to be a coin flip. So, but I think that the point is K-State's number five all of a sudden. And then what do?
Then you have Texas. Then you have Baylor. Then you have TCU. TCU, little struggles with Jalen Fisher going out. However, their other point guard who stepped in had 17 assists last week.
Jesus.
Yeah, I know. I think that was against Iowa State. Against Iowa State, the game after Jalen Fisher went out, had 17 assists, which is just bonkers. I think he set the Alex Robinson is the guy's name. He set the school record for assists, or at least tied it. So, I mean, they didn't really take a step back with their point guard going out. So TCU sitting there, Baylor sitting there, Texas is sitting there. And these teams have all beat up on each other, too. I mean, if you want to say Texas should be lower. Well, Baylor beat Texas, but Texas doesn't have any other great wins except they beat Texas Tech. So I don't know. I don't know how to do that. But if I had to do
it's
it,
it's tricky. Probably, this is really hard.
I'd probably go Texas, TCU, Baylor.
I think I go literally the switch of that. I think I go TCU, or I'm sorry, Baylor, TCU, Texas. Texas just lost by how many points? 35 points.
West Virginia. That was, they lost a player too. We talked about that last
obviously,
week.
Obviously, James Young going down. 35.
Yeah.
Like, no one in this conference has lost by 35.
No. So, okay. So you put Texas in number eight.
A little recency bias, but I'm putting them late.
You put Texas number eight. TCU at seven, Baylor at six. Is that what you did? Or I Baylor did. At seven?
Yep.
Okay. Yikes. And then how do you close that out? Oklahoma State.
I know. They just beat Oklahoma.
So Oklahoma State just beat Oklahoma. And Iowa State just beat Texas
murdered
Tech.
Texas Tech. I know. honestly, Iowa State's got two out of three, both of which against, let's see, they beat Baylor and they beat Tech. Pretty good wins. They lost to TCU by a zillion, though. So I think I'm going, man, that's tough. I think I'm going Oklahoma State though. I think that, okay. I think that win over Oklahoma was big enough for me. And Andrew, last week we said this, we had three, remember who our three bottom teams were?
Well, it's the traditional three bottom teams of Iowa State, K-State and Oklahoma State.
And I said, and we had the top four teams, right? That were clear cut, the top four teams. I said, we put those three in the bottom and I said, but you know what? Those three teams are going to beat one of those top four teams this year, guaranteed. And they all three did it in this week. Like they did it this week, which is kind of crazy. So, crazy league, man. I think it's just going to be, it's going to be a lot of fun to watch. I don't know what's going to happen this week, but I bet it's going to be something nuts.
Right. We'll come back, next Sunday and, you know, have a completely different outlook, but hopefully we're still sitting at the top of the table. We just got one Big 12 game this week, and then we've got the SEC Big 12 Challenge on Saturday. Okay, Kevin, big week, lots going on. Put a hex on Trey Young. Rock chalk.
Rock chalk indeed. Thanks so much for listening, guys. We'll catch you next week. Until then, rock chalk.
I tried to tell them every time we on the court. I tried to tell them that we never coming up short. I tried to tell them that we came here to get the win. I tried to tell them that they should never let us in. They say that we the best, but I say we the greatest. That's why they try to knock us down and always seem to hate us. That's why they talk about us. They know they can never fade us. It's tradition and that Kansas pride that has truly made us. They know just how we feel. They know at Allen Field that we gon' keep it real. Shout out to Bill. This for them fans that waited off in them long lines, camped out before the games, and they stayed a long time. Every dollar that we spend just to watch our team win, on a Jayhawk shirt or a new clean Benz with a sticker on the back with the K and the U. Uh-huh, yeah, baby, that'll make you say, ooh. We at the top of the top, just like we should be. Started from the bottom, thanks to what James could see. Dr. Naismith made a game for man, changed lives for the players, and did the same for the fans.
This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks.
And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks,
baby. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks.
And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby.
All them years that we've been cheering, everything that we've been hearing, all them spreads that we've been clearing, never been no team we fearing, and look how Bill got us steering. All them tournaments appearing with no team that's interfering. Nine times get to cheering with them banners held high and the crowd going wild. Night before the Final Four, you can't even sleep now. Yeah, we at the peak now, we can't even leap down. March Madness, man, we've been waiting weeks now. If you a Hawks fan, go ahead and hold them ones high. Shout out to the boosters showing love and the alumni. I'm speaking for the fans, even though I'm just one guy. We appreciate the love, love won't run dry. Imagine the state of Kansas with no Jayhawks. That's like having no streets but trying to jaywalk. They see us as support and we see them on the court. So we keep it loud and do our best so we don't come up short. We win together and we lose together. But win or lose, we still booze together. Struggles in my life will change me as a man. But one thing that'll never change, I'll be a Jayhawk fan.
I ain't even gotta really say it. This one for the fans, that's why I made it. March Madness, here we can't be faded. Rock Chuck Jayhawk in your faces. I ain't even gotta really say it. This one for the fans, that's why I made it. March Madness, here we can't be faded. Rock Chuck Jayhawk in your faces.
This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks.
And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks,
this
baby.
This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks.
And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks.